Hi there. Welcome to the Dialogue on Digital Rights for Media Practitioners. My name is Roland Yagaba, and I am the founder of Mwado. Mwado is an African social network that is working to ensure that creatives on the platform earn from their content. I am also your host. This is a documentary-style podcast where we'll take a deep dive into the experiential divide between women and men in media while they're conducting their work online. You will hear views from 7 different Ugandans in the media industry on this topic. But due to the pandemic, the interviews were carried out by sending voice notes recorded using phones. So if some of the sound is not that good, please understand and forgive us. This podcast has been made possible with support from the Women at Web Project, which is under the Collaboration on International ICT Policy for East and Southern Africa, also known as CIPESA, or CIPESA, depending on how you pronounce it. Our other partner is Phoenix Reason, whose empathy workshop framework we have used for the interviews. So now I will let our participants introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Kanara Mugume, and I am an investigative journalist with NBS Television. I'm also a radio show host on Next Radio, political show called The Big Talk. I'm also a podcaster of two podcasts, one called The CoronaCast on coronaviruses and lessons we've learned, and The Election Podcast, one on politics. And that is about the 2021 general elections in Uganda.
My name is Caro Aliek Bayanga, and I am the managing editor for the digital section, digital content at the Monitor Publications Limited.
Hi, my name is Danze Edwin John, aka Dijan. I'm communications and media personality.
My name is Yvonne Injuna. I work with New Vision as a sub-editor. I have worked on TV, I have worked on radio. Now I'm working with print media.
My name is Emmanuel Sejengo. I'm the editor of The Kampala Sun. The Kampala Sun is an English language tabloid of New Vision.
My name is Sima Chakuhede Sabiti, and my background in the media has been quite varied. I have been a radio presenter. I have been a magazine editor. I've also worked in the marketing department of Uganda's biggest media house, as well as working in their online department.
My name is Eva Zanye, Ernest Bazanye. I'm a former journalist, currently everywhere, consultant, writer.
We are now in part two of the podcast. In the episode in this part, we are going to try to focus on media coverage and representation of women online in the media and try and empathize. According to the largest study by UN Women on the portrayal, participation and representation of women in the news media spanning over 20 years and 114 countries, only 24% of the persons had read about or seen in newspaper, television, and reading news are women, and 26% of the people in internet news stories and media news tweets. Only 4% of traditional news and digital news stories clearly challenge gender stereotypes. This is episode 6. All right, welcome all of you to the podcast. Thank you for agreeing to participate in this. Let's dive straight into the questions. What is your opinion on the state of women and digital rights in Uganda versus that of men?
I'm not sure about... I don't know if the question is about women's digital rights, or basically women's rights and digital rights. But I'll answer the best way I figure I should answer that. I think digital rights, I believe, involve us having the right to be able to communicate and express ourselves digitally, you know, on different platforms, whether it's social media, whether it's on our websites or blogs, and in different situations, different topics and things like that. It also, a right is, you know, if you have a right to something, it means that we should be able to access the internet either at a very cheap cost or no cost at all. We should be able to, the whole idea of taxing people who go online is just, I think, is ridiculous. So these are some of the rights that we should have, but we don't. So in Uganda, you find that internet is very expensive. Data is really expensive. The telecoms price it quite highly. you also find that access is difficult. Depending on where you are, sometimes access is difficult. Many people who are able to access it fairly easily are those who work in offices, who believe that people should access the internet to be able to do their work, to be able to communicate, and therefore provide Wi-Fi in the offices. But if you do not have that kind of office, you know, some kind of organization, then of course you're limited and you use your data really sparingly, and you know, determine where you can go and what you can use it for, depending on how much you have or how much you can afford to spend on it. So accessibility is low in this country. The places you go to, and it's very difficult. You're unable to go online, it is expensive, so that our rights are not, we're not there yet, really, in terms of digital rights. When it comes to women versus men, I'm not sure there is such a thing in terms of women's rights versus men's rights when it comes to digital. I do know that men usually tend to get away with stuff more than women. If a woman is assertive online, she's speaks her mind and she's strong-willed and everything, you know, there's comments about how she's not being feminine and how it just doesn't come off right. But a man is allowed to do that, you know, he's allowed to be strong-willed and assertive and all that. On the other hand, I think that if a woman is feminine and sweet and nice and online, and people tend to like her because they think, wow, she's so sweet, she's such a nice person, you know, that's allowed and really appreciated. But if a man is emotional online, if he, you know, appeals to his emotional side, if he's you know, spends his emotions there, if he talks about his love, if he talks about his feelings, you know, you get the feeling that people sort of think, ah, what's this guy doing? Why is he not being strong and tough? Why is he, you know, spreading out his emotions? But for the woman, it's sort of okay. So there's interesting things online there, and I think that people should be able to express themselves. A woman is assertive and she wants to be able to speak her mind and speak to issues that she believes about. Again, I insist, in a way that, you know, communicates in a way that is not insulting, that is not belittling or berating, but putting forward her points very well, very firmly, that there should be no problem with that. Just as there should be no problem with a man who wants to come online and, you know, talk about his emotions and how he's feeling over a different issue. That's human. That's being human. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, both scenarios are frowned upon, and I think more than just digital rights, we still have a ways to go in the different situations, you could say.
I think Uganda is not any different from the world. We have a certain level of compliance to human rights, and of course, now, like digital, use of digital communication channels, it's really up to the users, yeah? So, just like the entire world, women are on those spaces, they're occupying the platforms, they are, you know, making comments, they're communicating, basically using those digital media platforms. But they get a lot of backlash, not to say the men don't, but to say that everybody has a different perception. But I mean, this is the 21st century. People are allowed to be on social media, and people are actually on social media saying whatever they want to say. We are a liberated century. So people are actually on social media. So same goes for, you know, Uganda, the state of women and digital rights in Uganda. I think we talk whatever we want to talk. I've not seen a woman that has been arrested because of saying something on the anger of being a woman. If a person has been arrested for saying something on social media, it is because maybe it is political, or maybe Yeah, basically, it's usually about politics. But I've not seen anyone who has been really arrested because of saying something on the point of being a woman. No, they arrest you because of another issue. So I think we have the rights and we are utilizing them. People are saying whatever they want to say on social media.
To question 15, the state of women and digital rights in Uganda and that of men. On paper, I think men and women have equal rights, the same digital rights, and in practice, I also think the same. I say this because there seem to be campaigns on either side. In January 2020, we had a campaign which was similar to the Me Too campaign in the US. Several women used media, and accused several men of raping them. Some of these were men in high places, like the Deputy Solicitor General. His name is Dash. There were celebrities like Denzel, Darius Mugisha. There were even people we barely knew about. There were allegations all over the place. Some of them ran to court over those allegations. So court is the civil court processes. But in the meantime, there have also been cases where men have seemingly used the digital space to harass women, or the public has used the digital space to harass women and denying them the right. It is a hard case also because of people playing victimization from time to time, and that is across the board. So I personally don't feel that the women are treated any different from men in the digital space. I think they have equal rights, and those equal rights are equally abused often.
I can't really put a pin on it. Either the people that are hired to do it aren't doing it on a large scale. Usually these are NGOs and stuff like that are restricted by some kind of laws, policies, or budgets and stuff. But and they're usually targeting Mutua 1C or very disadvantaged people, sex workers, etc. So that's as far as my knowledge really goes on that. But I don't feel the impact really. I just feel like this community disagreement with the vice of attack on women and other people on the internet, bullying, cyberbullying, etc., etc. The rights kind of there. We all know them. The platforms protect you. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, etc. will protect you from cyberbullying and everything because they have a report option in their platforms. So it's kind of based off the platform, but actively, I just see people coming together. I see the feminists in court, some of them are my friends, who come together, we rally and just really defend these women or people out there. But in terms of the organs and bodies and stuff like that, no, not really. I heard there was an internet president for Uganda and it's a woman. I haven't felt any impact from her. Yeah.
What, in my opinion, is the state of women and digital rights in Uganda? I don't know. How do we have freedom of speech in this discussion? Can I say the word? I mean, it's fucked, man. Someone once said, I think it was Tignatar who said it, that you know how no matter how, you know, all these guys be there complaining, oh, it's even us, all right. He said, not a single one of you would change places and say, you know what, let me just be a woman from now on. Definitely not on the internet. Although, on the other hand, there's the fact that in real life, it's worse. On the internet, at least if the person who attacks you is less intelligent and less witty, you can pack your punch back will be harder and you can actually destroy them. And also, the great thing is that when someone decides to attack a woman on the internet, she can call her gangos. It's not like how people attack a woman in real life when, you know, you find her. Well, I don't want to go into, you know, deeper details, but then at least on the internet you can call your gangos and we round up and we go for the guy, we go for the chap, and we gang up on them and teach them a lesson. Yeah. But otherwise, it's just messed up, man. It's just wrong. A lot of the wrongest stuff is within that area for digital rights women in Uganda.
Have you or someone you know been a victim of tech-enabled violence against women, like cyberbullying, stalking, non-consensual sharing of images, phishing, messages with sexual undertones, and so on and so forth?
I personally haven't been a victim of cyberbullying or cyber stalking. I also haven't had anyone, you know, come on any of my platforms, any of my, you know, pages and either stalk or, you know, humiliate me in any way. And I also do not know of anyone close to me for whom that has been done, or someone I know personally. But that said, I know that there are women out there who have had this done to them. And a number of them are celebrities. A number of them are well-known people. Sometimes they're not well-known necessarily, but they have had people do such horrible things to them. So while I have not had that experience, I do know it exists. And I know that women have suffered such horrible experiences.
There are instances where I feel like somebody is stalking me, or, you know, someone is entering into my space, even though, you know, it's the internet. But yeah, I feel sometimes some people evade our privacy. I have had cases where I had to block some people on social media because whatever they were communicating to me, I felt like it was actually sexual harassment, so I had to block them. There are very, very many instances, and women fall victims of such more than men. There is a time we had people, we had photos trending on social media, nude photos of people. I mean, these are things that people take in their privacy. They share with their loved ones, and a person betrays you. And so when such a photo or a video or a voice note is released on social media, the backlash you're going to get is way, way too much. And being a woman, of course, considering how women in Africa are perceived to, you know, behave, it becomes difficult that we are in a technological world, we are in the 21st century, but then our minds are, you know, still in 8 years. So yeah, it becomes really difficult, and it impacts a lot. We have seen people who have gone into depression. I know someone for a fact who was actually depressed because of social media trolling and bullying. That was a hashtag some time back, stop social media bullying, because it was actually becoming too much. So yeah, it is it's a big problem.
The closest person I know who has been a victim of talking about violence in Uganda, I think, is Desire Luzinda. We used to be friends. I hope we still are. Her case was special because it was one of the first of its case when her nude photos leaked, and the debate turned out to be who leaked them and why. There were accusations that she leaked them herself to get publicity, which she got a lot, and she followed it up with a song called Chitone, which was a tricky reference to that. So because she even fueled the debate on whether she leaked them or not. So meanwhile, the boyfriend who was alleged to have leaked them stayed around, went back to Nigeria. The minister Lokodo claimed he had arrested him, and the following day he was on social media saying, I'm here in Lagos, I'm just having fun, I'm with my boys. Ministers in Uganda are liars, things like that. I don't know so many people who have been victims to this.
I'm number 16. I'm afraid I can't help you there. I really keep my... Like I do, you know, I really be... Once I saw the signs of the of how dangerous and toxic an area social media can be, I bailed really, really fast. I mute, block, unfollow. I really keep my social media interaction very, very, very small and very clean. So it's really unlikely that I will get in, that I will actually even see or know if anything like this happened. It happened right under my nose. I mean, I know it's happening. It's probably someone doing it to someone else today. But I mean, mostly. So no, I haven't really. But it's mostly because I really stay away from that kind of thing. And I mean, even something which you would think is, first of all, let me tell you how careful I am, and how paranoid I am. Even like, you know, when people leak, when someone's leaked news are trending, yes, I will mute or block anyone who even so much as intimates that they are not like clearly and unequivocally opposed to the mere looking at and seeing of revenge porn or of nudes leaked without the person's consent. I just don't even give them a chance to explain or anything. It's not because I judge them or I am trying to be, because I'm not trying to be judgmental here. I just do not want to be, to take the risk of being in that space where people are trying to argue in favor of this sort of thing. I just don't want to.
Yeah, I know a couple of people who have been attacked sexually, inappropriate comments in the thread or their tweets and things like that, or on their images, or people sharing their nudes or inappropriate stuff on Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, you name it. I've seen this. By all means, I have. People that are close to me and people that aren't close to me, like virtual closeness. So yeah, I have.
Thankfully, I have not, touch wood, but I know many women who have been, you know, cyberbullied to the point of, you know, almost being suicidal and, you know, shutting down their social media accounts. Definitely when it comes to the non-consensual sharing of images. Messages with sexual undertones? Oh yes, definitely, I have. You know, unwarranted dick pics. People thinking that maybe because you've had, even if it's a business conversation, and they seem to think that, okay, now we can move it to the next step and I'm just gonna send you a picture of my genitals. So yeah, it has happened. I still don't get surprised when it happens, but still there's a part of me that is like, really, people, we're still doing this at this time. Like, what is the problem with you? What is wrong with you? And again, I think it does play into the whole power dynamics thing, because let's face it, we are a patriarchal society, and there's things that men feel that they can say and do and just get away with, and that women are supposed to be grateful for. So definitely it's something that I see. Until there are actual proper consequences for the people who do this, it's going to keep happening.
Yes, I know a friend who I won't mention, and it really almost ruined her life knowing that her images were out there. Everyone will see them, and there's an internet blueprint that even 10 years, 20, 30 years from now, even when she has got children in this era of the internet, you'll still Google her images and find them on the internet. That's depressing. And sometimes it's a WhatsApp group and people are chatting, and maybe she annoys of someone, and this person brings back this image as a sticker or as a GIF. It's that bad. It depresses them. You know, you choose to move on, but then you can't, because this stays on the internet forever. That's high experience.
What do you think is the impact of digital media abuse on social relations of affected parties, like the families and the communities in which they stay?
You imagine you are in a relationship with someone and it goes bad, and they leak pictures of your naked body. Of course you're going to have family members who are on social media, or you're going to have aunties and uncles in a WhatsApp group. Those images are going to make their way out there, especially because it's not like they can be removed from the internet. You don't know who has downloaded them even before, let's say, they were put up and then deleted. So of course it's going to affect your social relations. You're going to probably be asked questions by your family, like, why did you take those pictures? Not why would he do that to you? That's what you're going to be asked. Of course, it's going to give you trust issues. You're going to think, okay, maybe if I start dating another person, or, you know, what pictures are they maybe going to take of me, even without my knowledge? And if the relationship goes south, they're going to leak those photos. So of course, there's a huge impact on social relations of affected parties. You can never ever be the same again. You imagine, you know, leave alone, let's say, celebrities, not that it impacts them any less, but if you are just, let's say, an ordinary person, maybe you're in the corporate world and your nudes happen to leak, how are you going to walk into the office the next day or sit in a meeting knowing that the person sitting across from you has seen you naked? Like, it's a horrible, horrible thing.
Digital impact on families and relationships and whatnot. Because it's, you know, that billboard that was in town, I think it was the UN or something, that internet is a human right. So this thing has become our day-to-day life. We use it almost every day. I'm using it right now to send you these audios on WhatsApp. This is social media, WhatsApp. 200 times I'm viewing my phone a day, like the stats say. The impact is great, relationships. Let me give you a scenario of a relationship I've been in, whereby let's say my girlfriend at the time, when she wasn't happy with something we're doing in the relationship, she would go online and vent or put these posts or subliminal messages on there, and they would create tension between me and her, and also the online community. So it opens gaps for these guys are fighting, these guys aren't okay, maybe let me go shoot my shot now, things like that. And you know how men are with egos, or how women are with egos and pride within relationships, usually just creates a wedge, all because we chose to put our things out in the open, or because you shared something, or you subscribe to a particular channel that talks about abuse, and basically as in those subtle jabs that usually land, because social media is our day-to-day life, we really can't avoid it. It's just, it is what it is, the internet of things. In terms of families and communities, let me give you fake news in terms of abuse attacking, let's say, religion, Muslims being attacked, people in Syria creating fake stuff that this sect, this religious sect is attacking this religious sect, leading to war, families are displaced, civil war breaks out, people are dead, etc. So the impact is much greater than we think. It's a tool, it's a weapon right now if it needs to be used by, they say, any state or body. I believe it will be the biggest terror war out there, an internet war on social media. And yeah, it creates, the impact is great negatively, but also very positive in the long run. I wouldn't say calling out fake woke people is a good thing or a bad thing, but I know they're trying to create awareness about certain things, but maybe they are hypocritical in the way they do it, especially now in our world in Uganda with our internet. That's kind of where we are looming. Yeah, so social media abuse, digital media abuse, is the impact is much greater. Depression, suicide, mood changes, radicalism, you name it. You may end up in the wrong foot or fall in the wrong communities because you want to feel cool, look cool, abusing people. But you end up being put on a list of, don't ban this person from our brands, ban this person from influencing for us, or things like that, you dig it?
The impact of digital media abuse is obviously huge. Relationships can be destroyed. Especially, okay, there's the impact on the individuals, of course, but now, which is, you know, which can lead to depression, it can lead to someone just, you know, isolating themselves, someone, you know, even the self-esteem and their confidence going down, because a lot of the time people will tend to at some point blame themselves and say, maybe I deserved it, maybe I made a mistake somewhere. So that already, as you can imagine, has an impact on the individual. Now, when it comes to their relations around them, their family, their friends, you know, even their colleagues and their workmates, it definitely impacts negatively. For one, some people tend to assume whatever has been put out is correct, and without asking, without trying to find out, assume this person has is being abused because of something wrong they did. So they distance themselves from that person. So there's that. Where people find that some of their relations distance themselves from them. In other times, you find people will find that the families are affected. You know, if it's a woman, and you know, her husband is also affected in terms of he also gets worried and, you know, wonder, you know, how can I help my wife? What can I do about this? He also is affected at his workplace, with his own family, with questions, or vice versa. The woman is affected. He's also being asked questions by her own family, or friends, or colleagues about, you know, her husband and what is going on, and the abuse that's coming at them, and why is it happening? And friends as well. So people get affected, their relations will suffer in terms of other people distancing themselves or assuming that, you know, they actually did the wrong and deserve the abuse that's coming to them. In other ways, sometimes even in people, it can get really bad, critical. Sometimes you find people even lose their jobs because of something like that, some statement they innocently put out, which was not a bad thing really, but people come and attack them and abuse them so much, and the company feels they're getting too much negative attention, and then therefore decide that, you know, we can't sustain this, so this is not, you know, and instead of protecting their person or, you know, doing an investigation to find out what the issue is, they end up saying, we can't have this, maybe you need to leave. So some people may end up losing their jobs, people may end up losing business, if people see this on you, they think, this kind of person we're dealing with, maybe not. So it can impact people in a number of ways, and negatively and really deeply, especially psychological. People don't seem to understand sometimes how deep this can go, but it really can mess up a lot of things in people's lives.
Whereas I acknowledge that it has had detrimental impact to varying degrees on the victims of digital media abuse, whether it is what's doxing or trolling or cyberbullying, revenge porn, and so on and so forth. I do think that whereas I acknowledge that the impact, the negative impact, the hurt and the pain and the suffering that has been caused is indeed real, and I do not I do sympathize, and I honestly naturally wish that no one had to go through this sort of suffering or pain. I do think that it is in that the solution is right in front of us. It's pretty much an understanding that social media abuse is very different from physical or real life abuse, in the sense that it is mostly perpetrated through a series of veneers and masks, each of which create a different level and an increased amount of distance, fictionality, and indeed cowardice between the perpetrator of the abuse and the victim. I think once you understand that the person who is calling you an epithet on social media, once you realize that that person isn't an aggressor on the same level as, say, a person who is threatening you in a physical sense, once you realize that this is actually a person who is hiding behind anonymity and distance and probably if not some sort of alcohol or drugs, if then at least some kind of cocktail of dopamine, endorphins and adrenaline, once you realize that this person is really acting more on their own insecurities and their own fears than actually acting on your own personality and actions, once you realize that you are essentially being insulted by something which is too weak to actually harm you, then you understand. Then it loses its sting. It loses its capacity to harm. And I just hope that more of us get to understand this and teach the younger generation that's coming up on social media to understand this, that you can never ever take a social media insult or attack seriously. Never take that stuff seriously. That stuff is completely, it's just shadows, it's just wind, it's just someone just trying to talk, to work out their own issues. It is honestly, if a person cannot come and say it to your face, then don't take it seriously. Do not give it any or just dismiss it, forget act as if it didn't occur, mute, block, and move on. I think that where the damage which has been caused by social media attacks or abuse, except in the case, of course, of situations like revenge porn and that sort of thing, I think mostly, and in case of doxing, but when it just comes to just trolling and attacks, I think it's really, we need to understand that these, that you really can, once you ignore the thing, it stops having any power over you. With regards to situations like revenge porn, I do find that the more people put out these, what in Uganda we call them leaked nudes, which of course doesn't express the level of malice involved in doing this, making public photos which were sent to you by someone who trusted you, and that is the only reason you're able to harm this person, is because they probably loved you, which is just makes it even worse when a person uses affection as a tool of attack. Just I think that the more it's been done, the more it's done, first of all, what I have seen is that the reaction, or that the extent of the damage done has often been controlled, or at least the limit of the damage done has often been set by the woman herself. The times when, without naming names, there's circumstances when the woman whose photographs were released just ignored them, and in doing, or just said, "So what?" Or just said, "You people who are consuming these things, you know that I am, didn't do anything wrong. You are the ones who are doing, you are the ones who are being immoral, or at least you are the wrongdoers by consuming these pictures which you got hold of in a wrong way." And in that case, an act was meant to humiliate the woman has often given her a platform to use her own agency and power to show that it doesn't diminish her in any way. The fact that she has a body, and the fact that she has attractiveness doesn't diminish her in any way. The fact that Swanson was able to show it off to people, that it really, sexiness doesn't make you less of a person or less of a human being, less of a woman. And I think that this has actually really increased. I'm not going to mention the names, because I really don't think it's any of my business, and I really shouldn't even know that these people's pictures existed or were sent out or leaked, so to speak. So I'm going to the most I'm going to do is just mention that I know that this happened, but I'm going to it goes so far as to actually name the people, but I'm just going to say that I have much greater respect for them as human beings because of their response to these things. Basically, you know, a person acts like a piece of trash to you. You just say that, you know, you guys see this trash. If you participate, you're trash too, and it just goes on like that. Now let's move on to the next one.
I know many people don't take social media abuses or trolling as important, but they are big and very impactful because they could affect you physically, mentally, yeah, psychologically. They could just lead you into depression. I'll give you an example of when there were rape allegations. So a person could lose a job because of the rape allegations. I know someone who was alleged to have raped another person, a girl specifically, and then the boss put him on a bench, what we call like put him on a bench, giving him like forced leave so that they can do investigations. Now during that time, possibly a person is not being paid and they have bills to pay, they have loved ones to take care of, but also the relationship between such a man or a person and their loved ones is tarnished. So you could lose friends, you could lose relatives, you could be disowned by your family just because of something that a person has said about you on social media. So basically it's big. It could lead you into depression, and I think we should really, really take it serious. We shouldn't just look at it as, you know, it's social media and I don't care. No, we should really start to care about social media abuses, and I think it is something we should start to you know, fight social media bullying and something like that.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks once again to our participants for agreeing to be a part of this. And thank you to the women at Web Project under Cypessa for making this happen and Phoenix Reason for allowing us to use their framework. Catch you on the next episode. I remain Roland, your host.